Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, and Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the show today, and there is no time to waste. So let's dive right into it. Give me cut number three, because it's time to start scout the Lions.
Earmark that. Here is a completion to Jameson Williams. He is gone. Touchdown, Lions.
Now, there are plenty of things to talk about with the Lions, but what I also want to throw out there is in this hour, as well as in the noon o'clock hour, we will be giving away tickets to Cowboys Lions. It's a fact.
Us?
I think it's courtesy of Miller Lite.
Okay, that's fine.
I was trying to make us sound big and important.
I'm big and important.
But yes, courtesy of Miller Lite for making that happen. And they also helped make our appearance happen at Buffalo Wild Wings on Friday in Louisville. But yeah, so stay by your dial or your app or whatever for that. All right. With the Lions, we played the cut of Jameson Williams. Is he at the top of your list? Is it more like Jahmyr Gibbs? Is it Jared Goff? Like, who are you thinking of immediately when you think of the Lions?
I mean, obviously, it's Montgomery. That's the first thing that comes to mind, is whether or not he's going to be doing his thing. And I guess Jahmyr Gibbs is there, too, because he's the breakaway. Montgomery is the thunder, if you will, for that whole thing. But it's him first, then what Jared Goff can do whenever their run game is working. So Jameson Williams, big play expert, happy that Deron Bland looks like he might be back for
yes.
it, because that's somebody I think can run with him. I think
for
Diggs.
Sure.
I'm still a little concerned. Somebody brought up yesterday, Monday, they were discussing it with me, and they were like, Diggs looks like he just kind of lost it a little bit still. I said, he's still recovering. Mm. I think that catch-up speed is still, it's going to get back. It might take a little more time, but maybe he'll get back to it. But I am concerned about play action and what they can set up there, because Jared Goff has been one of the best play action quarterbacks around. So just keep an eye out for them trying to establish that, because they know the Cowboys, A, are afraid of people running on them, B, working hard to keep people running on them, and C, will bite down just enough so that they can get the space to make big plays with Williams.
And then, as you could probably guess, a couple of people said Hutch for sure, the favorite, and if not, certainly one of the favorites to win Defensive Player of the Year on the other side of the ball.
Sean Sharif from The Morning Show, Kevin, here on 105.3 yes. The Fan, just texted and said Amon-Ra St. Brown. He is most concerned about him.
All right, so it's that combination of players right there that makes you nervous, because Detroit is the only team in the NFL that has four different players to produce 250 scrimmage yards or more and two touchdowns this season.
Is Laporta one of them?
No, actually, believe it or not, it's Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, Jameson Williams, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. But you mentioned Laporta. Obviously, Jared Goff has gotten off to a slower start than he has the last couple of seasons, but that right there
He's
lets
still
you
really
know
good.
It's perhaps a more balanced team than anywhere across the rest of the league. The fact that you look at two of their running backs, two of their wide receivers as being legitimate threats already this season. And remember, the Lions have only played four games. So if you're like, oh, 250, not that impressive. They have played one fewer game than the Cowboys.
On the other side of the ball, though, that's offensively. And on the other side, I don't want to get too far ahead
sure.
here, but Aiden Hutchinson,
he's a monster.
Where's he lining up? How's he lining up? Because he can beat Terrence Steele. He can beat Guyton. And you heard Nick Eatman on this morning. He was like, I still think Jerry Jones said it. Steven Jones has said it. I still think that Guyton is going to be your starting left tackle.
Yes.
And I think it was somebody asked Broadus on Twitter. Is it more mental or physical with Guyton? And it, and Broadus said physical. It's his, it's footwork, hand placement, all the physical parts of his technique are just lacking a little bit. He's got so much work to learn to be a pro left tackle. So Aiden Hutchinson is a big time concern because he can get to Dak Prescott. And that's, I mean, that's really the key to this Dallas offense.
Is it also a concern to you that it feels like confidence level at just this moment in time is really low for Guyton and Steele? I mean, Steele, you saw him get eaten up a couple of times in the last game. And then Guyton, he's a rookie. It's going to take time. But right now, it just doesn't look particularly good.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I think he's got the ability to do it, and I think he has the will and work and desire to do it as well. It's just, can he keep his feet under him? Putting your feet in the right place is so important at that position, and that's why, like, Tyron Smith always had great leverage because of the way he was set and where he was. He didn't reach for anything. He always had it, took that left foot was going out to make the play. Kevin Warren Sharp, do you like him at all?
Yes.
You hate him? He posted the havoc rates.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Okay. Yeah. Right. I think we can dive into that a little bit more later. But the point of the havoc rate for them is they're good and we are not.
Yeah.
Is that a fair Cliff Notes version?
Mostly about how good they, where yes. they are, where they rate on that. And I think that's a fun stat.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Unfortunately, the Cowboys are not very good at that either.
And I love when stats are named correctly.
Okay, what do
you
mean?
Sacks, forced fumbles, interceptions, okay. and all that. That's havoc. That's chaos right there. I love when they're named correctly.
Is there any part of you, though, that wishes every single one of those categories actually spelled out like HAVOC?
I want acronyms for everything.
That's
yes.
probably too much to ask. You're right. And we need
the Raptor and basketball.
Yeah, exactly. We need to dive back in to the defense, and we will. I wanted to throw out one particular concerning offensive set of numbers for me, because this just feels like a tough spot to be in. So, highest percentage of first down plays gaining 4+ yards.
Okay.
And then, assuming you don't get a penalty, that's kind of the idea of like, hey, how can we stay even with or get ahead of the chains, right?
Yep.
So, number one in all of football is the Chiefs, which that makes sense.
Because they're the team that's winning.
They are very good. Number two is the Lions, 56% of the time. So more than half of the time, they get 4+ yards on first down. So that's going to set you up for success.
Yep.
Here's the other thing.
You can do anything on second down.
Exactly.
There.
That is a great point. Here's the thing that concerns me, though. Let's say you do shut them down on first and second down. The Lions are tied for the highest conversion rate when facing a third and long. A third and long here is defined by 10 yards or more. The Lions convert 37.5% of the time. So they like to get ahead of the chains. And if they don't, they're the most effective team in the league at converting on lengthy third downs. That seems like a horrifying combination for your defense to go up against.
Yeah, and add in not just third and longs, but 45, almost 46% on just third down. Just in general,
whew,
almost half the time they're converting, while on the other side, they're allowing only 31%. So, and then you know they're going to go for it on fourth if they don't.
Yes.
Like Dan Campbell's like, run our own 4-yard line? Fine, let's get it. We only have 1 yard anyway. Hell, let's do it. And you know, again, tough-nosed dude who's like, I believe in my team at all times.
Outside of, obviously, you want the Cowboys to win, is Dan Campbell your favorite non-Cowboys-associated coach in the NFL?
That's an interesting conversation, because
maybe McDaniel.
McDaniel's fun, but it's not working. And Dan Campbell, like, everything that he preaches is everything you know of an old school coach, like an old school high school coach.
True.
You think of Dan Campbell because it's just like, we're going to hit you in the mouth and bite kneecaps and drink lots of coffee. And so you're always, so he emulates that perfectly, and people buy into it and they believe it and they're fighting for it. And they've turned into a tough team. And that's not something you really expected. A lot of you were like, okay, that bit's going to fade at some point. They love the guy. So, yeah, I think that's one of those guys that you're kind of rooting for and not at the same time.
With the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, answering the questions that matter from the 903. Does Mike still work there? Fair question.
Here?
He does still work here. He's off for his Italian vacation. He'll be back on Tuesday. He was here last week. Now, of course, the week before that, he was on vacation. with the Rangers. And the week before that, he was here. And then the week before that, he was with the Rangers again. But he will be back on Tuesday.
No more days off for the rest of the year. Is that
there
right?
There is no chance in hell that he works all of the rest of the weekdays.
Do you remember
this
that
year?
Time that he was like, it's Christmas break? And you were like, you have to ask for the time off. And he was like, but it's Christmas break. Everybody just knows.
And I was like, you're not a kid in school. Like, you have to talk to people.
I am famous.
Okay.
That is true.
That is a logical reply. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, what is your preferred Cowboys playing time slot? Plus, more NBA storylines for the upcoming season. Let's cram a lot of content in next on The Fan.
Second and 10. And Prescott back to throw, has time now, runs out to his right. Throws it to an open man in the end zone. Dowdle diving to his right. Touchdown, Cowboys!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where the question is going to be, which is your preferred Cowboys playing time slot? But Corey says it's not.
No, it is.
Oh.
That is going to be the conversation. Oh, okay. But from the 469 and anybody else today, do not send in your jokes for Kevin to read off today. That's not what this show is, okay? The show has natural, organic comedy that just kind of shows up out of nowhere, just like regular day.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Conversation. We don't need Kevin up here doing a stand-up bit with dad jokes all day long, all right? And if he sees one, he's going to be like, I have to do it. Do not do that today, Tolos. You're better than that. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
Hey, from the 469, I like it. I think what you sent in was very funny. All right. So we got Noah Eagle coming up at 10:30. Plus, in this hour, we will give away some Cowboys-Lions tickets. But here's my question. You look at the fact that the Cowboys, they get moved all over the schedule because they are very much in demand for ratings' sake.
Makes sense.
Week 1 and 3, and obviously I'm going to use Central Time. Week 1 and 3, played at 3:25. Week 2, noon. Week 4, 7:15 on Thursday. Week 5, 7:20 on Sunday. So you've already hit four of the most used time slots. There's realistically five, sometimes six if you expand it out, sometimes seven once you get to December. But realistically, you see the five. Thursday night football, Sunday night football, noon on Sunday, 3:25 on Sunday, and Monday Night Football.
Gotcha.
Is there a preferred, because I think this is where I'm at. From the 682, 3:25 is the sweet spot. Although they also add, that is a tough spot to be because there's a lot of attention focused on you and you could get embarrassed. From the 817, Sunday at 3:25. Sunday night is too late. And if they lose, you have to go to bed disappointed.
Terrible.
Noon game on Sunday is too early because I want to watch all the other games for fantasy football. And that is an interesting point. So for that person, I would assume that would knock out Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football, assuming you go to bed, you know, some ish time after that. So what is your preferred, man? Your TED Talk had the opposite effect. What is your preferred time slot for the Cowboys to play?
I guess I'm old school in that time of whenever we were kids, it was always noon.
Yeah.
I was trying, like, our preacher was like, all right, guys, let's get out of here at noon today. Now, if he'd heard enough about it, he was like, I'll keep you a little bit longer today. Don't worry about it. He'll look at his watch and be like, four more minutes. I gotcha. But yeah, noon was always my favorite, but I totally understand why they have them that 3 o'clock times or 3:25 time slot now. But I love the noon because I can get up, watch a stupid London game sometimes, and then get my stuff over with. And I can go do other things from three to whenever for the rest of the night. I know I'm going to be end up watching football anyway, but I can like imagine that I can do other things.
You know, this is an interesting point from the 469. Best time slot is any time slot I'm not working.
That's a good point.
I'm not going to lie. When we started, we had the Sunday show. But eventually we got Saturday and Sunday, and I didn't totally hate when the Cowboys had a noon game because that would mean a three-hour pregame, and so our show would be off for Sunday, and I could just be like, hey, let's just focus on football all day and not working or anything.
And you were
like
working
that.
Like three jobs because you're working at the paper
that
still.
That is actually true. So
you kind of needed a weekend.
Yeah, so I didn't mind that, but I can see that for sure. Like if Thursday is your day off, or maybe, you know, Friday is your day off, so you don't care about, like, staying up late or whatever. Maybe you love Thursday night football. You're like, that's my game. I can stay up as late as I want. I can get on social media. It doesn't really matter.
I'll be honest. The Thursday game, I don't love for, obviously, it's late. You know, it's Thursday night. And then you have so much more time the next week.
Yeah.
That you kind of feel like you're rehashing stuff. And you're like, man, we're not really getting to any Cowboys stuff on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I do not love when the cow, like this last one, we were going into, it could be a very tense conversation with Jerry if the Cowboys lose against the Giants.
True.
I don't love that, man. Like, I really do. I think Jerry's at his best whenever we're having fun with him.
And he gives us more information, I feel like. Well, you know who I really feel that way about is Steven.
Yeah.
If the Cowboys win, we can get some info. If they don't, it's like we're asking for the nuclear codes or
something. Yeah, he shuts it down. Noon's where I like, though.
Okay. See, I think I appreciate and understand the logic of 325 because then I don't have to, you know, we used to do a segment on Sunday that I really wish translated better during the week.
Why are you missing church?
Yes, and I love that segment, but I like the 325 game because I don't have to go to the early church. My wife's dream is for us to go to early church. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. And so we could still go to later church, not worry about having to miss the beginning of the Cowboys game, get everything situated with Noah. He's usually taking a nap by about the time the game starts, and you can like really get into it. But you still have plenty of time after it's over. Like, it's probably about 6:30, 6:45 when the game's over.
My second favorite then, because the noon one's my favorite. Easy.
Yeah.
The second one is Monday Night Football.
Okay.
And the reason is Monday morning, we come in after a hot day of Sunday football action, and we talk about all the NFL stuff, but we're pre-gaming for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And then whenever it's on, the only stage is the Cowboys stage. And so Monday night, I'm excited about that. And then Tuesday, it's Cowboys talk. And so I do enjoy the Monday night one because of the way that it sets up. However, sometimes it might invade conversation with Earth Carter's football games
okay.
on Mondays.
Yeah.
So I've got to be aware of that.
So, look, we're trying to catch up with all of the sporting events in the world and try to be the most versatile show that you have from the 3-2-1. Did you see that there was a bad accident at a cycling event in Europe? Apparently that guy, the cause that he blamed it on the bike because it was too tired.
See, this is the thing, Kevin. You think I'm disguising this so perfectly. This setup is so good. They're never going to know that I'm about to tell a joke in their faces. And that's where I can see it a mile away, Kevin. I know you too well.
Okay.
That must be why I'm against it.
Fair enough.
I'm not against you.
Look, you're right. I could be way better at this job. I could be a scarecrow because the scarecrow is outstanding in his field.
I got to go.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the voice of NBC Sports Big Ten Saturday. It's Noah Eagle. And if he returns, Baseball Buckets with Corey Majors. We'll see next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline, it is Noah Eagle, the voice of NBC Sports Big Ten Saturday night. Noah will call Ohio State, Oregon, clearly the game of the weekend, alongside Todd Blackledge this Saturday, 6:30 on NBC and Peacock. Good morning, sir.
Guys, good morning. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Now, we have a lot to get to, and we want to make sure that you're comfortable straight away. So we have this question. On the caller ID, your name, the name of your dad pops up. Is your phone plan still under your dad's name?
It 1,000% is, yes. That is absolutely factual. The funny thing is when, and I'm not even being I'm 1,000% serious when I tell you this story. So I think it was 2020 or 2021. At this point, I'm off on my own, out of college, et cetera. And I say, you know what? I think it's time for me to move to my own phone plan. So I go to Verizon and I say, you know, I'd like to break away. I'm going to buy a new phone, which I did. And I wanted to be on my own plan. And they said, okay, sounds great. Let's check on your plan. And so they look through everything and they say, okay, that's not a problem. Just so you know, you're going to have to alert your father that his rate is going to double.
Oh, man.
I said, I'm sorry? They go, yeah, he's been grandfathered in to this previous clause. And if you leave, we're going to double his rate. So I called him and he said, don't you dare do that. I will pay for your phone. And as a result, I have my phone paid for, which is pretty good.
That is awesome. Great story right there.
Yeah, I didn't expect the interview to start like that. Now, I know we need to talk about Oregon and Ohio State, clearly the biggest national game of the weekend. Around here, as you can probably guess, there is a lot of focus in on the Texas-Oklahoma game. What kind of vibes are you feeling going into that one?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be fantastic. Anytime you've got a Red River rivalry, you just know that something special has the potential of going down. And you've got Texas now that's well-rested, feeling good, top of the college football world, and getting healthier, which certainly helps. But I don't care what the records are. I don't care what the rankings are. I don't care what any of it is. With any of these rivalry games, and the hope is that these new Big Ten teams can start to form some of their own, like Ohio State and Oregon this week. But with any of these rivalry games, it's just anything goes. And that's what I think is exciting. And obviously, when you've got a neutral site and you've got quite literally half the stadium in burnt orange, half the stadium in red, it just gives it that vibe of, okay, let's just roll the ball out and see what happens.
I'm an OU fan, Noah, although I did go to the University of North Texas, but I grew up an OU fan. But seeing what Sarkisian's done there at Texas is pretty impressive. It looks like he has one of those kind of rosters that he can just continue to reload with. Can you talk a little bit about how he's accomplished that and what he's done? Because having Arch and Ewers at the same time is pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, I think the thing with Steve that's fascinating, I did a Texas game. It was Texas at Kansas, I think, what, two seasons ago now. So it was the year that they were good, but they weren't great. And I think a lot of people were starting to question, okay, you know, we thought that they were going to be one thing, and they're not. They had Bijan Robinson, who was clearly the best running back in the country, an absolute weapon in the backfield. They had Worthy and all of these weapons on the outside. You know, A.D. Mitchell hadn't transferred there yet, but they had all this impressive talent on the roster, and Quinn Ewers was starting to come into his own. Now, he had the injury earlier in the season. Hudson Card had to come in, and Hudson played well. But Quinn was back at this point, and we're saying, okay, this is a team that realistically should be competing at minimum for a Big 12 championship at that time. And at that point of the season, while they already had, I think, three or four losses, they were still in the running to make it to the Big 12 championship, and it was like one final loss that kind of crushed them. But I just remember the fan vibe around it was like, all right, do we really believe that this guy is what he says he is? Do we really believe that this is the one that's going to say Texas is back? And I remember talking to him, and there was this level of calm and this level of almost knowing what was going to come and knowing that what he had to sell was going to be very legitimate. His recruitment, I think, speaks for itself. This is a guy that can bring in elite top-end talent, has done so throughout his career, has worked with some of the best minds in college football. And when you've got that lineage in the coaching tree, I think you see that influence, and you certainly see that with Texas right now. But on top of all of that, there's a level of calm that I think he's learned over time, because he wasn't always like that. And so I think he's matured from past experiences, and he's taken all of this. It's an amalgam of everything he's done in his coaching career. And so now you pair the great recruiting with his elite football mind, his creative offensive sets, and you've got this, which is, to your point, an ability to not just be really good right now, but in this modern college football world, I feel like he's got a really good sense of how to blend high school recruitment with transfer portal. And I think we've seen that, especially in the last two seasons.
Well, and you look no further than the quarterback position. Are you surprised that there wasn't more chatter about Arch getting the start against Oklahoma with people, everyone just being like, well, Quinn was playing better or Quinn was playing really well. He's not hurt anymore. It's his job again.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, honestly. I think that there's been almost an understanding of what the situation is and the fact that there is no greater luxury right now in the entire country than what Texas has in terms of the depth at that position. There's Arch Manning, if we're just being realistic, and I don't think this is hyperbole, in 99% of other situations would be starting right now. It's just the lay of the land. But you've got this unique situation with a guy who obviously has an incredible football lineage himself, and he's probably the most mentored and well-tutored young quarterback that college football has seen in decades. And so when you've got that mix and you've got this incredible influence behind him where they understand, the Manning family understands, hey, this is still the best situation for him. And realistically, it's so strange now to watch in modern football, not even in just college football, but definitely in the NFL, where there's this rush to get guys on the field. It's why I loved watching Patrick Mahomes sit for a year, learn, and become Patrick Mahomes at the NFL level. It's what I thought that New England was trying to do with Drake May until the news we got about 20 minutes ago to confirm he's going to start. But I think you see now these guys get rushed on the field so quickly. I think Arch is very content in honing his craft, in continuing to sharpen his skills. And when the time is right, he knows he's going to go out there, he's going to play well. We got to see a glimpse of it, so I think it gives people excitement. But there's no reason that Quinn Ewers should lose his job. The guy led them nearly to the national championship last year. It was a couple bounces away, essentially. Yeah. And here he is this year, and he's playing his best football, arguably, of his entire career to start the season. So there's no reason to go away from that. To me, if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. And I think that's where it seems like a lot of fans have recognized, you know what, this is working.
We're talking with Noah Eagle right here on 105.3 The Fan. He'll be on the call 6:30 on Saturday, NBC and Peacock for Ohio State and Oregon. And I'm curious about your perception of the stakes of that game, because with a loss by Alabama and Tennessee, and then obviously the week before when Alabama beat Georgia, that kind of power vacuum that the SEC had at the top of the rankings has really been broken up. This feels like a game that will almost guarantee you maybe a buy into the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, big stakes about midway through the season, and obviously a lot of football to be played, and with the new college football playoff, it still feels like, even with a loss, both these teams say, okay, you know what, we can still get our, we control our path, essentially, which it hasn't just been the case in the last couple of years. And I mean, a great look at that would be Oregon last year, where they had a huge game early in the season against Washington. They barely lose that game, and yet they still control their path to get to the Pac-12 championship. And if they beat Washington on that second go-round, they're probably in the college football playoff, or at minimum, they're in the conversation for it, you know, with a Florida State and some of those Georgia, those who are just hovering around. So it's not quite the same, but it is, at the same time, to your point, it's massive in the sense of being a top four seed potentially. And it's going to come down to the Big Ten championship game. And in all likelihood, we feel like these are the best two teams in the conference. But you've got Penn State now ranked at number four, and a new offensive coordinator in Andy Kotelnicki coming from Kansas, who has definitely brought creativity and more explosive plays, which is what they lacked in the past. And they're as talented on both sides of the ball as realistically both these teams are. So if you get them on the right day, you feel like you've got a chance. So a game like this is huge just to ensure that if you win, you guarantee to control your entire path. You know, you can't control what Penn State does, but you can control yourself. And if you win this game, you can run the table, and definitely Ohio State. It just feels like their path after this game gives them every opportunity to go out there and say, all right, we can run the table, we can be undefeated, and we can confirm that we'll have a bye week going into the playoffs.
Noah, is Indiana's record solely based on Kirk Cignetti's Google Me flex from December last year?
Best quote of the offseason.
True
Cignetti quotes, if I'm being honest, guys. First of all, I don't know if I've ever met more of a football guy in my life than Kirk Cignetti. Like, the term football guy, you get around him, you're like, oh, this is it. This is what people have been referring to when they use those two words together. But I love his energy, and I mean, his team responds. It is remarkable what they've done, and they're not some random story. Oh yeah, 6-0, it's a par competition. No, they're legitimately well coached. And Curtis Rourke, their quarterback from Ohio, is outstanding. Yeah, he's one of these, you know, heavily experienced transfers. He's Canadian, and he grew up because his brother loved Brett Favre. He's like, maybe I'll try football. And he's just really good, and he's really poised. He's really calm. They've got weapons on the outside. They've got good backs. They've got an excellent defense. So this is a team that is very much for real. Do I think they'll run the table? Not necessarily. But Kurt Cignetti, yeah, Google him, guys. He wins, and he continues to do so in Bloomington.
Now, I have a question about if another team is for real. Got off to a terrible start, but the SEC is still a damn fine conference, and if you look at the SEC standings, there is but one team standing all alone in first place, and that is mighty Texas A&M. Let's say you're a fan of that team and saw them look terrible in the first game, but then turn it around. What should they anticipate for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, it's been such a wacky season and for so many reasons and for so many of these new conferences, I think there's new feels and kind of unknown. You know, the A&M thing, and Notre Dame was just ready to play.
Yeah.
I think a lot of credit to them. And then they have a letdown week, too.
Yep.
So there's this, it's the same feel of what Alabama just had last week. You know, they have this huge win over Georgia and a letdown over Vanderbilt. I think it's natural, especially with the way these teams are constructed now. They're not teams that have been together for years. At least most of them are not. I think Ohio State is really an exception to that rule, where top to bottom, outside of a couple of transfers, including the quarterback, but outside of basically three or four starters that are either transfers or freshmen, everybody else was a starter last year. That's not the case, not the norm. Michigan last year, same deal, where they were heavily returners. And so there's something to be said about consistency that can allow for that. I think that's where a lot of these teams are running into problems. But, I mean, I look at Clemson the same way I look at Texas A&M. Clemson looked absolutely dreadful week one. And now they kind of got it rolling a little bit. And Kate Klubnik's starting to look better. And the team's starting to look better. I think we know what Mike Elko is capable of as a coach. I think we've seen it over the course of his career. And when you've got a new coach, you've got to allow things to develop. And I think it's developed pretty quickly for A&M. So I'm excited to see if they can keep it rolling, because sometimes you just need to get that first one out of your system. And to be honest, if it's going to happen like that, it's best for it to be out of conference, to your point, so they can now keep it rolling in the SEC.
And Noah, before we let you go, I always like to ask something like this from your profession. I went to the University of North Texas. We had a great program with Bill Mercer and Hank Dickinson there, and Mark Falwell comes from that program as well. I think the best advice I got about play-by-play was you got to have that same energy, you know, on the last play as you did early on, or maybe even a little more heightened. What's that piece of information that you got when you were growing into this business and you were like, it sticks with me for every single one?
Yeah, maybe consider taxidermy or anything else, but outside of that, you know, I'd say the biggest thing that I always try to remember is you want to do it the way you feel it should be done. You have to trust your instincts at the end of the day. You obviously want to take advice from people and you want to listen to what they have to say about your work, but this is such an instinctual job, and if you're overthinking all the time about all the different things that people are trying to tell you, that's when mistakes are made, because you're too far into your head. So trust your instincts, especially in the big moments, and generally they'll guide you in the right direction. And that's kind of what I've tried to do. And then once it's after the fact, usually you can be extra critical of your work. And the big thing I try to remember in terms of improvement is, if I can just get 1% better every single time I'm on the air, I'll feel like I did the right thing. I did a good job, and we'll try to do the same thing the next time. But the second you feel like you're a finished product is the second you should retire. And so I hope that never comes.
Well, I want you to definitely trust your instinct during the call. I just wanted to remind you that our show is the KNC Masterpiece. So if you feel like dropping in the word masterpiece at any point, we'll know that you're thinking about us during the game.
Done. Masterpiece and phone plan will be.
Oh, yes.
Noted.
Thank you very much, good sir. We appreciate the time very, very much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. Noah Eagle, by the way, in case you missed it, Saturday, 6:30, NBC or Peacock for Ohio State and Oregon. I think that's the biggest national perception game. Now, down here, the focus is, of course, and that's why we talked a lot about it, Texas OU.
Yeah, and having 2-3 on the slate, you know, at this point in the season is always a blast.
Agreed.
Again, listen, with UT and OU's game, they're both still ranked, and that's nice to see. That's a good thing, but it feels like there's a pretty significantly clear better team here. Now, Carter
might... They're 15-point favorites. The Longhorns are 15-point favorites.
Carter might come and argue with me that he thinks that OU can do this. As an OU fan, I see what this team is. I know what they kind of lack and everything. Still looking forward to this game because, as Noah just pointed out, man, that's a stadium right there that's split in half of two fan bases that meet in Dallas, and... It's not punching and, you know, hitting each other.
Yeah.
It's just two fan bases that are cheering their tails off. And they're hammered too. That's a good thing for fair time, because then you leave, you go get a corn dog. Maybe you go there at halftime. I'm not sure how you do.
Sure.
You need the corn dog to soak up all the beer, Kevin. That's what you're really
trying
to accomplish.
And if that doesn't work, you need to call a car.
Yes, call a car or hop on one of those dart rails and get yourself home there. You might end up just riding the dart rail. And Broadus has done that before. It's turned out pretty good for him. I think he's built some relationships off the dart rail.
Now, we got a little bit of baseball buckets in just a second. But before that, I feel like it's about time.
Let's get something away!
877-881-1053. Callers number 9 and 10
now
will win a pair of standing room only tickets to Cowboys Lions this weekend.
Dude.
We're giving out two pairs, one pair per winner. Caller number 9. Caller number 10. 877-881-1053. We'll have another giveaway in the noon hour, but now, buckets.
Thank you very much, Chuck Morgan. Always appreciate that. And Kevin, as you point out, when it comes to Peace-a-thon this year, there is a Chuck Morgan package that is built.
That's awesome.
In. I'm looking forward to outbidding everybody on that, because I don't think I'll ever get a chance to be in Chuck Morgan's booth without that. So,
and if you want your kids to take swimming lessons, we're going to have stuff for all of the Aquatots locations across the Metroplex.
Chuck Morgan is teaching swimming lessons?
No, Chuck Morgan is not teaching the swimming lessons. These are different things.
How many more kids would sign up for swimming lessons if Chuck Morgan was doing it, though?
Your attention, please. Stroke.
Please,
I guess it's for rowing,
the
probably.
Pool.
Yeah.
You may now get into the pool. Adult time only.
Yes. I'll ask him. I guess I'll ask him. I don't know.
Dude, that would be awesome.
I'll see what I can do.
He's like, you know what? Actually, every summer I have a class that I teach. We're in out these pools here in Arlington. We actually put a pool in the middle of the stadium, and that's even better. Get a pool built in the stadium, and then not like out in the outfield like a stupid Arizona team. You just put it in there for a little while and then take it out. Kevin, Phillies fans were disgusted yesterday with the way that the Phillies went about their business.
Sure.
Losing 7-2 to the Mets, and now both the Padres and the Mets have an opportunity to really take this thing home. And that's awesome to see, because both of those are the underdogs in these two series.
And I know they're not going to like make a statement, but baseball is desperately hoping that the Dodgers come back on this thing, right?
I'm glad you brought that up, because why do you think that?
So LA versus San Diego is part of it, but more importantly, the biggest name in your game does not play for the San Diego Padres.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he plays for the team that's fallen behind, and they want... Look, the dream series we all know is Yankees and Dodgers, but you want your best player in there as long as possible.
Yeah, no, and that is... I agree with you. I see that. But that is the... You got to sometimes just go, sorry, baseball, I don't care what you want. This is how baseball is. Just the teams that win it are the ones that get it, man.
Yeah.
And that's the stories you got to sell. Like, those are the stories, whatever. Because the Mets at one point looked like they weren't even going to be able, they were going to have to sell off and pawn off their team.
It is.
And here they are making a run here with Pete Alonso being a big part of it. And Pete Alonso was struggling.
You know it's a big deal when even John Stewart was like, hey, I know you guys might be confused, but it is October, despite the fact that the Mets are still playing baseball.
Yeah.
And so, like, yes. I just thought that was a great joke.
Yeah. So that's those two series are very interesting. I got to watch a little bit of the early part of last night's game between the Padres and the Dodgers. And I saw Choppy. He was like, look, man, I know Juan Soto's good, but trading away King might be the biggest mistake they've ever made.
It looks like a stud.
He is fantastic. And I know last night he gave up some runs there in the third inning, I believe it was. The grand slam was one of those. Teoscar Hernandez, when he hit that, It didn't look like it was, but he knew it immediately. You could see it on his, like, as soon as he swung, he was like, that's gone. And he knew it immediately.
I mean, even Jackson Merrill, I thought, really, like, he was standing right back against the wall. And I was like, okay, maybe he's got a shot. Maybe. Because when you're watching on TV, maybe you don't get, like, the same feel. And then he made a run at it, and it just didn't work out. But I was like, he might be able to get this.
Yeah, and then, like, and I was like, okay, now it's a game. And that's when I tweeted out, if you have over-under set up at 25, you're on track right now. Because it was third inning. They had 11 runs on the board. I was like, this thing could go all night long.
Just quick update from the 214. Let's go. I just won the Cowboys tickets. That's Trey G from Irving. Remember, in the noon o'clock hour, we'll do another ticket giveaway, and this will be for seats. So we will have a couple of seat tickets to give away in the noon hour.
Wow, man. I'm going to get to something about that. Okay. I want to ask you about that in just a minute. The other part, though, was Fernando Tatis hitting, capping off that 6-run inning in the second. He really, like, he looks strong. He looks like right now. He really cycled through that one. You know, he really put some juice on that ball.
Okay.
It was nice
to see. See, I was super invested in what you were saying until I totally figured out what you were getting at.
It was an awesome swing, though. That was he crushed that one.
I will tell you this. Go back and look at Fernando Tatis' reaction when they win the game. This is game 3 of the NLDS. Like, obviously, it's important. You still got a ways to go. But when they won that game, dude, he was freaking pumped. I swear I'm not going down the steroid path. I understand what you were doing. But he was fired up, man.
The other part, too, was that moment when Profar went to catch the Mookie Betts home run, and he didn't catch it. And then Mookie Betts, like, that's my question. I do wish Mike was here. Mookie Betts almost ran, like, to the dugout.
Yeah.
How far out of the base path can you get on a home run like that? Or are they just like, you know what? He faked
run.
Him out.
You're good.
And I didn't, because you have to touch home plate for it to count. So I didn't know if it's the same. Can you run out to center field and touch the wall and then run back to third?
If you're Mookie Betts, yes. If you're I referenced him a minute ago. Let's say Jackson Merrill would have done that. Hey, I'm going to need you to stay tight inside those baselines. Mookie Betts can go eat some hot dog from a fan in the crowd. He's going to be just fine. And all four of these series are playing again today, finally.
Yes, it's going to be a really good day of baseball. Broad is going to walk in here and say day baseball, and we're all going to be happy. I did enjoy what Choppy asked Boone this morning, and that is Ohtani has the home run, not hitting at his best in this series. And the question, Kevin, I know I am always a little interested in your thought on this, because you're like, if I didn't do it, then it was on me.
Yeah.
But if there aren't pitches to hit, because you have to be smart pitching to Ohtani.
We
were smart pitching to Alvarez last year. Somebody texted in one day, was like, how would you go about pitching Alvarez? Blow it away. Throw it to where he can't hit it, but entice him to swing. If you're enticing him to swing, that's fine. But Ohtani's not necessarily getting all the things to be Ohtani, and that's smart baseball by the Padres.
Just at some point when it's in the, let's say the last third of its journey, if you can get it when it's like the last eighth, just get it to break over the plate or across the plate. So you might entice them. But I realize that the downside of that is, well, if it doesn't break like you think,
it's gone.
Then you're going to break your neck watching the ball fly out of the ballpark. So that's fine. I want him to be frustrated. I'll take a walk to Ohtani over, hey, here's something down the middle of the plate every single day.
And from the 469, I'm so mad. I was caller 8. Alec goes caller 8 and hung up on me. And that's the way that Alec does it, man.
It happens.
I was going to say, for the record, I totally get that, because you can't chat with them while the other people are waiting, because we get so many phone calls.
I don't want them to miss out, man.
I know. Absolutely.
Got to go Lightning, man.
Makes sense to me. Absolutely. 877-881-1053. In the noon o'clock hour, we will do another Cowboys ticket giveaway. Coming up next, though, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Plus, maybe we'll go back and talk a little bit more Red River rivalry next on The Fan.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.